Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Friday, everybody, and I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Coach Jen from Studio B in Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to the Horses in the Morning Show on the Horse Radio Network for May 10th, 2013, episode 655. This episode is brought to you by the fine folks at Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse world.
Guess what day it is today? Sunday. No, it's Friday. Friday.
This is what it's all about, gentlemen. It's what we train for.
Happy Friday.
Thank God it's Friday.
Well, good God Almighty, this week's been too much long. Lord, I love to hear that Friday 5 o'clock whistle moan. As the moon comes up and the sun goes down, put the juice to my truck.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Friday morning. Jamie is out today. She's had to deal with some things this morning, so Jennifer has agreed to fill in, and we really appreciate that. Jennifer, you're going to need to call back, though. Your sound was really awful, so give us a call back. We are going to be doing a lot of fun stuff this morning. We have some guests lined up for you. But first, I got to tell you about this guy in Florida. I was reading this story earlier this morning, and it just cracked me up. There's this guy in Florida. His name is Brian Zuniga. Well, Brian Zuniga decided to go out on Thursday night at about 2:50 a.m. By the way, nothing really good happens at 2:50 a.m. in the morning. And he decided to go out and take a little joyride and probably get a little drunk, I would say. And the deputies decided to pull him over because basically he was driving all over the road. Well, when they pulled him over and stopped him, and this is in Pinellas County, the Pinellas County deputies pulled him over and stopped him, he decided to jump out of the passenger door, broke through a vinyl fence that was nearby, and escaped. Well, the vinyl fence happened to be at a water treatment plant, a sewage plant. And he thought, well, this would be a good idea. I can just hide behind one of the sewage tanks at the water treatment plant. Well, this is South Florida along the coast, almost near where Wendy lives, actually. And what do you have when you have water? This is not a trick question, but what do you have in Florida when you have water? And Jennifer, do you know what you have near water in Florida?
We have two things. Mosquitoes and alligators.
Well, apparently he decided to hide near the water treatment plant right by an alligator who decided that he was hungry and decided to chow down on this failing criminal by the name of Brian Zuniga. Well, they found him. The police did lose him. I mean, they had lost him when he escaped into the water treatment plant. Well, they got a call from the hospital a few hours later as he was in there being treated for bites all over his face, arms, and armpit areas. And if you look at his mugshot, you will see that he got bit in the face as well. So he chose the wrong place to run from the police.
Just the image of combining animal bites of any sort and a sewage plant. Is he just not a walking infection right now? Ew!
Yeah, and your sound is not any better, Jennifer. I don't know what to tell you other than to try again because you're just breaking up every other word. So I would, why don't you reboot your Skype and give it a try again?
Okie dokie.
In the meantime, I'll start doing my daily Winnie because I have one for you that's good, that will probably take a little bit of time to talk about, and that is it. Well, my Daily Whinny goes out to everybody that's living currently on the East Coast, from about New England down to North Carolina. And the reason I am giving you that Daily Whinny is because you're about to be invaded by, they're saying, what could be up to 1 trillion. That's billions of trillions. 1 trillion cicadas. That's right. The 17-year cicadas are due to come out. And for those of you that have not lived through them before, Jennifer and I lived in Kentucky when they were out, when one of the broods came out, and we lived in Pennsylvania during another one. And you're in for a real treat. The cicadas spend about 17 years underground. Now, they're actually alive under there, and they're apparently munching on tree sap and just hanging out underground, digging little tunnels. And there are 12 different broods of, that's what they call them, broods of cicadas, that 17-year cicadas that come out. And the one that's due to come out now is the one on the East Coast there. Well, they're expecting a very large brood this year. I don't know how they figured that out, but they're expecting a very large brood. And that means that they're expecting from a few hundred thousand to 1.5 million cicadas per acre. That's per acre in some of the worst spots. And they do date back a long time. I mean, there's actually records of cicadas being in the New York City area in 1928. And when they come out is when the ground temperature hits the 64-degree mark. So in the next couple of weeks, you'll see them popping out all over the East Coast. They'll pop out a little bit more quicker in the south than they do the north. So that's so when it hits 64 degrees is when you'll see the cicadas pop out.
Oh, goody.
Yes. Fun, huh? and so they're going to be, they're going to be popping out. What happens is when they come out, the males come out first, and the males are the loud ones. And if you haven't experienced cicadas, they're very, very loud. As a matter of fact, a group of them together can hit up to almost 100 decibels, which would drown out a jet plane taking off. That's how loud they are. And Jennifer, as I said, Jennifer and I have lived through this. They are loud. And they're there all the time. It's a constant noise. Now, sometimes they're singing individually, and sometimes they're singing together. They actually do songs together. And the males come out first, and they start singing because they're looking for the females. And then when the females arrive on the scene and they pop out, they get together and they mate and they do their thing. And in about a month, they'll be over. And what happens is, the females will each, get this, each have 600 children.
Oof.
And they lay these in trees, and the little children will fall out of the trees and then burrow into the ground to be this next bat brood of cicadas 17 years later. So the thing is, unless you've lived through it, there are videos, actually, and old videos and pictures of people taking brooms and just, because when they die, they sort of just, they are there, and their carcasses are there, and they're about 2 inches long, and they're really ugly. They have red beady eyes. You didn't like their eyes, right?
Didn't like the eyes, and I really don't like it when you're walking along a path and you're crunching them, because there's so many you can't walk around them.
No, you're just
it's a
just
carpet,
crunch,
and
crunch,
you crunch, crunch them. It's yucky. It's just yucky. Yeah.
It is yucky, and you would actually have to take brooms and sweep them off your driveways, and because there would just be that many. When you think about 1.5 million per acre, they would just cover entire trees. And I have a funny, if you don't mind, I'm going to read a little something to you. By the way, if you had experience with cicadas, if the cicadas have popped out in your area already, or you haven't had experience with them in the past and have a story to tell us, give us a call at 347-637-3238. And the reason we're talking about this is obviously it's going to affect horse people, because we have acreage, and it will affect you, believe me. But this guy is from, they're less, you're going to find them less in the cities, obviously, because it's mostly pavement, so they're not, they have no place for them to pop out and live underground.
Yeah,
so But here, this is by Kevin Cowherd, his name is, and he's from the Baltimore Sun. And I just want to read this to you because it's very funny. This is Kevin Cowherd. You people who haven't seen these things, you have no idea what you're in for. You're thinking, cicadas, big deal. You're thinking, come on, a few bugs flying around the yard, how bad can it be? You're thinking, worst comes to worst, I'll spray some Raid and light a citronella candle and they'll go away. Ha, 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 ha. I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh. It's just that, well, you people are so naive. First, let's dispense with the fairy tale scenarios, okay? Here's how it's going to go down in about 3 weeks when these 17-year cicadas start popping out of the ground. You go to bed one night. Before you do, you steal a last glance out the window at your backyard. It's bathed in moonlight. It's quiet. It's peaceful. Everything is fine. Then you wake up the next day, you look out the window, and suddenly it's like MTV Cicada Spring Break outside. Your whole yard is swarming with cicadas. Cicadas that are laughing, cracking beers, cranking the stereo, throwing each other in the pool, doing cannonballs off the high dive. You're like, what the? So you go outside to investigate. You open the screen door, and about 60 of them barge in. Start rummaging through the refrigerator, fighting over the remote in the family room, asking to use your bathroom. Pretty soon, the noise level is incredible. Right now, you're thinking, well, I've heard cicadas make noise. What is a little buzzing or something? A little buzzing? I'm sorry. I said I wouldn't laugh, but let me ask you something. Where are you from? Lollipop Land? Well, I got to switch pages. Hold on. Part two. When I say the noise level will be incredible, I mean it'll sound like a cicada tabernacle choir. This will be because thousands of male cicadas are calling the thousands of female cicadas. And the males are not calling the females just to say hello, if you catch my drift. No, they're looking for action. Hey, it's been 17 years. You're going to try going without for 17 years? Well, let's not get into that. The point is, these cicadas will have a just out of San Quentin urgency to their mating calls, which tends to pump up the volume. Okay, here are a few more things you should probably know about cicadas, Mr. and Mrs. Clueless. Number one, cicadas are ugly as hell. Yes, they're about 2 inches long, and they look like flying lobsters, at least to me. Plus, they have these beady red eyes that can really creep you out. Imagine Ted Kennedy after happy hour. That's the kind of red eyes we're talking about. And they can't fly very well, cicadas. They're like Mr. Magoo at the controls of a Cessna. When they're flying, they tend to smash into people, houses, car windshields, dogs, you name it. And trust me, when they hit your car windshield, you know it. It's a smack. Those things are big.
Chip your windshield.
Yeah, it's just awful. And we think that love bugs are bad in Florida. And when they smash into you, it's scares the hell out of you, you'll jump 3 feet in the air. Luckily, they don't bite or sting or anything, but still, you get paranoid. Who knows what kind of evolutionary changes these cicadas have gone on under the past 17 years. Look, with all the pesticides and chemicals we put in the ground these days, maybe they've developed little teeth and claws, and they'll be swarming around like pint-sized Rottweilers. Anyway, the good news is the cicadas are only with us for a little over a month. Then they'll die around the same time the ground is littered with their little corpses like some kind of cicada graveyard. And when you walk on the shells, it makes a crunching sound, which is kind of creepy. Still, you'll kind of miss them when they're gone. But then your dog will eat a bunch of the shells and throw up on the patio, and suddenly you won't miss them at all. That was Kevin Cowherd in the Baltimore Sun.
Oh, my goodness.
That was very funny. So anyway, to all of you on the East Coast and cicada world, now they will be thicker in some spots than other spots. Last time I remember, we were in Kentucky, and we went to, where did we go?
Shaker Village.
Oh, we went to Shaker Village, which is an absolutely beautiful place. It's where the Shakers used to live, and they have it converted into a place where you can go and tour now. And it's just beautiful. They have a hunt there, and we used to go there just to relax and stuff. Well, the one year we went there, one of these broods had popped out, and there were cicadas everywhere, weren't there?
It really was, it was literally a carpet of cicadas. And along the white fences, they had white fencing everywhere, and it's beautifully painted, and they would line the top of the fence, so the top edge of the fence would look bumpy because it was just lined nose to tail with cicadas for miles. It was awesome.
And we used to walk along the bucolic paths that were always so quiet and everything. and you'd walk along, and it was so deafening that and then you'd crunch on their carcasses, and then they'd all be looking at you with their beady eyes on top of the fence. They'd all be like, it was like something out of a horror movie. And then the singing groups that were there, you couldn't hear the singing groups. If you were more than two or three people back, you couldn't hear them because the cicadas were so loud. Yep.
Yeah.
Fun coming to everybody on the East Coast. Very short.
There you go. We don't seem to have them here in Florida, and I must say I'm not disappointed. We have our own version. We have the love bug.
Yeah, we have the love bugs, which are out now, and if anybody hasn't driven through love bug season, they're tiny little, almost look like flies, but they mate all the time, so there's always two of them connected. That's why they're called love bugs. But they don't do anything. They don't bite or anything. They just sort of float around and are annoying, and there's lots of them. So when you're driving down the road, they splatter on your windshield, and whatever they're made of is sticky, so you can't get it off. You can't use your windshield wiper fluid because it just smears it. And so you really have to wash your windshield about, what, every two or three trips out? You had to wash it yesterday.
Well, I washed it before I left. When I came back, I have to wash it again. I couldn't hardly see you get home.
I know. It's just something else. Well, now, you had a list for us this morning, too.
I did. I did another tally, which I try to do about once a month, of horse rescues around the world. And
I'm just going to hit
the headlines because there are so many. In Panborough, this is the UK first, in Panborough, a 26-year-old horse was rescued from a ditch in his field. Obviously, he didn't realize there was a ditch in his field because he fell in
it.
In Barnsley Pond, a 3-year-old horse named Mungo was rescued from a pond in his paddock. Saying again. In Horsham, a Shire horse was rescued, having gotten stuck in his stable. They had to call the fire department to drag him back out. In Plymouth, a horse was rescued from being stuck on a riverbank. In East Hampshire, a black and white horse standing, get this, about 6 feet tall at the shoulder, was rescued from a mud bog by, count them, 4 fire service teams. And rounding out the list for the UK, in South Yorkshire, a dog and a horse were rescued from the same flooded river by fire crews.
We do get a lot of rivers, don't we? That seems to be the most that we see as rivers.
That's right. And next up, the tally from the United States. And these are all, by the way, from the past 30 days. In Lowell Township in the United States, a 30-year-old horse named Star was rescued from the same ditch for the second time this month.
Okay, Star's not so bright.
In Worcester City, Massachusetts, a horse named Tequila was rescued from the mud, and he's doing just fine.
Tequila.
In a Philadelphia suburb, firefighters.
I wonder what he was drinking when he got stuck in the mud.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's obvious. In Philadelphia suburbs, firefighters rescued a horse named Zany, who had gotten stuck in the mud while she was being trail ridden along a riverbank. They didn't give us any information about the rider.
Yes, they just left the rider there.
Where's the spot? In Lake Station, Indiana, a pony named Geraldo was found galloping along Interstate 80 by a Good Samaritan, and assisted by state police, he was captured, and he's doing just fine.
Geraldo was escaping his bad news show.
I think so.
Trying to get away from Fox. Like, I'm out of here.
I'm out of here. In Australia, in Marshfield, a fire crew rescued a horse from a drainage ditch where he'd gotten stuck.
A lot of those, too. A lot of drainage ditches.
A lot of drainage ditches. And a new player in the game, Thailand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I apologize ahead of time for any of our Thai listeners for butchering these names. In Pattaya, Thailand, a 6-year-old cow named E Dang was rescued from a ditch in a construction project where she'd wandered in.
They named their cows?
What's that?
They named their cows?
Apparently her name was E Dang. And she got that name because she fell in the ditch and they went, E Dang!
Dang.
Yeah, her name wasn't E Dang before she fell into the ditch. So the tally for this month is Thailand with 1. It's their opening salve. Australia 1. United States of America 4. And as usual, the United Kingdom tops the list at 6.
Very good. Well, thank you, Jennifer. I know you had to call back, so you didn't get to do your daily Winnie, but I know you had a daily Winnie you wanted to do, so I'm going to give it to you right now.
My daily Winnie is to all the kind listeners out there in Horse Radio Network world who wished me happy birthday over the weekend. I got lots and lots of happy birthday wishes via the various and sundry Facebook pages that I administer. And thank you very much, everybody.
Well, there you go. Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that. And can you tell us also what's coming up on today's show?
On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, following a reasonably disturbing assortment of morning headlines, as you have just witnessed, we will be joined by Stuart Pittman, reinventor of the off-the-track thoroughbred, with the latest project from that think tank of equestrianism we know as the Retired Racehorse Training Project. And Really Bad Ads tops off our week like the last dirty tissue you toss in the can. It falls off, it's consumed overnight by your dog, and returned back to you in a different form the next morning.
Thank you, Jennifer. Yes, we will be doing it. Jennifer's going to get her first attempt at Really Bad Ads today. Your first try.
A lot of pressure.
I know, and your sound is still not great. I'm not sure what we can do about that, but it's still not terrific. So you're coming and going.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure reliable.
Well, your sound is not reliable. Well, Shug McGahee is preparing Orb for the Preakness Stakes. He said that it's my job to get him fresh and ready again. We'll breeze him on Monday and get him back into the game. We don't need anything fast, just something that puts his mind back on what he's doing, and then he's going to get to Pimlico and get him acclimated. And he said, basically, there's not much else we can do. So he said, I'd be lying to you if I said he was asked, basically, if he was nervous about it, and he said, I'm more nervous about this than I have been. I try and block it, but I try and take it one race at a time. I just can't imagine how much fun it would be if that would happen, to win the Kentucky Derby and come back to New York where I live. And so he's got his sights on that. That is for sure. Now, it looks like Orb could face 11 other rivals in the Preakness, including Normandy Invasion, My Loot, Oxbow, We'll Take Charge, It's My Lucky Day, Golden Sense, Jennifer's Pick, By Jack.
All the horses that had a crappy run in the...
Yes. Departing, Governor Charlie, Title Town 5, and Street Spice. So there's some new horses in there as well. Actually, I saw that, they started naming who the jockeys are going to be, and all of that started to come out too. So we're going to hear a lot more about that, and I'm sure we'll be covering that on next week's show, talking about the Preakness as we get into more coverage of the Preakness coming up. When is the Preakness? What's the date?
I thought I wrote it down on the calendar in here.
Yeah, take a look for that. I don't remember when the date is.
Well, that's easy to... That's what Google's for.
That's right. Well, while you're looking that up, we have some sad news out of the racing world. Hollywood Park. Now, Hollywood Park is in California, obviously, Hollywood. And it's one of those racetracks that's kind of iconic, because if you've ever seen the seedy racetrack scenes in movies and old TV shows, they were usually filmed at Hollywood Park. By the way, the Preakness is... It's true.
How about that for a distinction? Whenever they need a scene of a seedy old nasty racehorse or racetrack, they use Hollywood Park.
Is it May 18th?
It's a fully functioning movie set.
The 17th is a Friday. Is it the 18th?
It starts Friday, but it's, yeah,
the 18th. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so the 18th is when Preakness is. So, yeah, the Hollywood Park is, they just announced yesterday, it came out actually on HRTV in the afternoon, that they are going to close. After 75 seasons of racing, it hosted the inaugural, the first Breeders' Cup World Championship in 1984 and again in 87 and 97. It's going to be the second major racetrack in California to close in recent times, after Bay Meadows did in 2008. And guess why? Because it's Hollywood, and the land has become more valuable to do something else with it. Now, big surprise, the casino that is there will remain open.
Yeah.
and everything else will be torn down. And guess what's going to go in there, Jennifer?
In the casino?
No, where the track is and the barns and everything. What they're
going to be a subdivision, right?
Yep, 3,000 new housing units, including upscale family, townhomes and condos, 25 acres of parkland, including a 10-acre central park, and a retail and entertainment district. So,
okay, Mike, I'm really curious.
And a 300-room hotel.
How many politicians and or persons with interests in the casino can be found to have been quoted as saying, unless we get the casino, the racetrack can't stay open. In order to keep the racetrack open, we need the casino. It's going to help racing. They got
the
casino.
Yeah, that's what they all say. And then, that is what they all say. And eventually, you know, that's what happens. You know, it just gets worse and worse and as time goes on. But if you want to see any last races at Hollywood Park, the last fall meet opens November the 7th.
So from now on, when Hollywood needs a seedy old racetrack to film at,
they're not going to have it. They're going to have to go further out.
No more cafeteria movies. No more sea biscuit movies. Nope, not going to happen.
Nope, they're going to have to go to Penn National, Pennsylvania for that now.
Yeah, that'll work too.
Hey, did you hear about Larry Bramlage? He's been on our shows. Dr. Larry Bramlage, he's a veterinarian, and he works at Rood and Riddle, but he's also the on-call veterinarian at the Kentucky Derby, and he's been on our morning show here.
Glaringly absent from Derby coverage this year. What's going on?
Well, that's because he ended up in the hospital. Apparently, he's been readmitted to the Lexington Hospital for observation nearly a week after suffering a head injury at Churchill Downs. He was hospitalized last Thursday after being briefly knocked unconscious when his golf cart overturned on the backstretch.
Really?
A bizarre golf cart accident, of all things. Mary Scole filled in for Bramlage as the on-call veterinarian during the major races. And Alex Riddle of Root and Riddle said that he doesn't have details on why he was rehospitalized and readmitted to the hospital, but they would release that as soon as it is known. So our best to Larry, and we hope Dr. Bramlage, and we hope that he gets better soon. But what a bizarre thing. That's why we didn't hear about him on Saturday, which we usually
do. Usually right out there in front of the cameras.
That's what happened. Yeah, a couple other news things, too. Good news out of the world of Paralympics is Joanne Formosa. You might have heard that name during the Olympic time because she won the gold medal away from Lee Pearson, who was the top British rider who had won everything pretty much, and they were expecting him to win. But the 54-year-old Joanne Formosa of Australia actually won that gold medal, and she has just been named the International Athlete of the Year at the Equestrian Australia Awards in Sydney. Hmm. So she won as the Equestrian of the Year over everybody else for winning that gold medal. It was the first Australian to win a gold medal in equestrian since Sydney in 2000, and it was the only Australian to win a medal in the sport in both the London Paralympics and the Olympics. So good job, Joanne. She's 52 years old, and she has, I'm trying to remember what she has. It did say in here. Can't remember whether it was cerebral palsy or one of those. I don't remember. Sorry about that.
Well, either way, she's rocking it.
Yep, she did a good job and took that honor home. And then I have one other two. This is not so happy news out of the world of para, and that's Joanne Pitt, who I met at the World Equestrian Games in Kentucky. She was 34 years old from the UK, and she was the individual bronze and team gold medalist at the 2010 World Equestrian Games and a member of UK's sports world-class performance program for almost 10 years. She died peacefully last week at her home with her family beside her being treated for a rare lung condition. She did have cerebral palsy and you know, she was affected with mobility, but she was an excellent rider. As I said, I did get to meet her at the WEG. And she had done a lot recently, actually. She had won all but two of her 12 starts recently. So she has done very well. Uh, she she is leaving a fiance and family and friends, and they're going to be having a memorial service for her coming up. But that's the sad news out of the world of para in England, which is a powerhouse in para equestrian.
Well, that's so sad.
Yep. Boy, lots of news. We haven't had much time to do news lately is what's happened. So...
We have to catch up now.
Yeah, we had a little bit to catch up on. Let me see if there was anything else that I really wanted to get to. Well, we can cover a little bit of this later on. We're at time. Why don't you get our guests on the line, and we'll take a little break here for Kentucky Performance Products Nutrition Minute, and then we're going to be back to talk about Stuart Pittman's latest retired racehorse training project. This Nutrition Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, the company that simplifies your search for research-proven nutritional supplements at kppusa.com.
Did you know that easy keepers and horses on restricted diets are often at risk for vitamin and mineral deficiencies? Most easy keepers are maintained on hay, and some get a few handfuls of grain a day, and most of these horses get little to no green grass. Diets that don't include significant levels of green grass or recommended amounts of fortified concentrates just don't supply enough vitamins and minerals. Many horse folks don't realize that hay alone, even high-quality green hay, is not an adequate source of many vitamins. For example, when grass is cut and dried for hay, the vitamins quickly lose their potency. 70% of the vitamin E found in grass is lost in the first week after it is cut for hay. One way to ensure that your special needs horse is getting all the vitamins and minerals he needs is to add a vitamin and mineral supplement to his diet. A well-balanced supplement will provide the nutrients your horse requires without adding unwanted calories, starches, and sugars. Microphase, made by Kentucky Performance Products, is a vitamin and trace mineral supplement that bridges the gap in your feeding program. With Microphase, your horse receives adequate and balanced vitamin and mineral nutrition without unwanted calories or other ingredients. The minerals in Microphase have been chelated, a process that protects minerals during digestion and increases their absorption in the intestines. Microphase provides vitamins, such as vitamin E, in a natural form, so your horse receives optimal results from this supplement.
This Nutritional Minute has been brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. You can find all of their terrific products at kppusa.com.
And thank you very much, kppusa.com. And I would like to, at this time, welcome Stuart Pittman to the show, who is the founder of the Retired Racehorse Training Project, who has done more to reinvent the interest in off-the-track thoroughbreds in America than anybody has in the past 50 years. Welcome to the show, Stuart.
Thank you.
Glad you stopped by. Go ahead.
I don't know if that's true, what you just said, but I'll take it.
It is.
Hey, it's our show. We can make things up.
We can say whatever we want. You have single-handedly kicked up the interest in off-the-track thoroughbreds in a more positive way than anybody else I can think of, and we're thrilled to have you here. And I want to talk to you a little bit today about the Thoroughbred Makeover and National Symposium, which is the most recent event to come on the RRTP calendar. Tell us about what this is and what's going to happen.
This is the most exciting event we've done. You know, the Trainer Challenge last year was great, and the 100-Day Challenge this year was great, even greater. I mean, everything has grown. But this is kind of the thing that we wanted to do from the very beginning and didn't think we were quite ready. We needed a little practice, and it's what people wanted us to do. Everybody, when we did a Trainer Challenge, said, well, I want to do it, I want to participate. So what we're doing is selecting 26 trainers from across the country. Applications have been coming in for a week. We opened up the applications on Derby weekend, and we're going to close the applications next weekend on Preakness weekend. And so far we have 42 already, and I know a lot of people planning to apply have not sent their applications in. And the application form includes a lot of questions about the trainers' experience and the discipline that they work in and the facility that they're going to use. And we asked for some videos showing them riding because we want people who are good, who will succeed, but we also want a lot of diversity in discipline. And we're not just looking for professionals. We're having people say whether they're professional, amateur, or junior trainer. So it'll be 26 horses. Well, first it'll be 26 trainers. We're going to select the 26. Then they go out and they get a horse. Some of them may already have acquired the horse, but the rule is that the horse cannot have already started training for a second career, and it has to have a race record.
So this isn't going to be like the Mustang Makeover where we put a bunch of thoroughbreds in a pen and we go point and pick them out?
No, but
okay.
There are some similarities to the Mustang Makeover in that it will be big, it will be exciting, and it uses the same word. Because it's a good, you know, we thought makeover, is that too cheesy? Is that too tacky? You know, everybody uses makeover. But it really explains what we're doing, and it shows that we're now reaching out to the general public, you know, for something that's real entertainment and, you know, really going to spread the word in a big way.
How will they find their horses? Is there guidelines there? Or?
That's up to them. Once we select the 26 from the applications, and this is going to be really hard to do because all the applications are amazing, amazing people. But once we select them, we're going to give them each a web page on our website, a makeover web page, where they're supposed to blog and chronicle the process and put up pictures and videos. The first thing that they're going to write about is finding and selecting a horse, because that's something we want people to know how to do as well. So we're encouraging them to use our online Sources for Horses, which lists all the nonprofits that place horses, as well as a lot of farms that sell horses and all the racetracks in the country, or to use their own contacts, because a lot of these folks get horses off the track all the time and they know people and they have sources. So go find a horse and tell us how you found it. Hopefully we'll have videos of people trying horses and pictures of horses that they're looking at and why they pick the one they pick. And as soon as they get their horse, they can start training it. But some people will start right away, and others it might take them a few weeks. And then they train them for the summer, pretty much, until the weekend of October 5th and 6th. It'll be about between 3 and 4 months, depending on how quickly they get their horse. And then they will all appear at Pimlico Racetrack on the weekend of October 5th and 6th for a really exciting event.
So, as far as diversity of trainers, give us some examples of the types of trainers that have submitted applications so far or the types of disciplines that those folks are involved in.
Okay.
What have you gotten so far?
Well, we have some 4-star event riders at one end of the
really?
Spectrum. Oh, yeah.
Really?
I think we have 4 of them, two that I know are going to apply and 2 already have. One of them is Kathy Wieshoff, who's got tons of experience out in Kentucky and lots of access to great horses out there. She's ridden in our Thoroughbreds for All event in Kentucky the last 2 years and been really great. Likes to teach as well as you know, do it herself. So so we've got, you know, 4-star eventers who grew up on Thoroughbreds who are, you know, obviously very good at this, that people will want to watch and learn from. We've got down at the other end of the spectrum is a 14-year-old girl who's hoping to get her horse from Mid-Atlantic Horse Rescue, who's graduating from pony to horse. And she's a really fantastic little rider and has ridden Thoroughbreds, just hasn't owned one. So people can watch that. We've got there's an organization, I can't remember its name right now. It's a business, actually. I do remember its name. It's called From Gate to Great. And they train X-race horses out west to be ranch horses. And
we had them on the show
not too long ago.
We
haven't actually gotten their application, but they say they're sending one. There are at least 2 all the way from California, and I need to talk to them about, you know, whether they're really prepared to ship a horse across the country.
To haul
for this,
a horse,
but. Yeah. One of those is a hunter jumper, and the other is done barrel racing in Gymkhana with lots of horses off the track and loves them. So
I know a co-host of a morning show who's not with us this morning that would have done this in a minute if she wasn't having a baby in 2 weeks.
And we've got one that does combined driving. So we hope that there will be an ex-race horse pulling a buggy around this thing.
Oh, great.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is unique.
And I know a couple polo players that plan to apply or may have already.
I just want to tell you real quick while I was thinking about it. We had Christy Lee Cook, the American Idol. She was in year seven and it has gone on to do very well in the music world. And she is a barrel racer that uses a thoroughbred.
Really? Well, maybe we can get her to this symposium because the big event at the end is we're calling it also National Symposium because another thing that we've wanted to do all along is to get people together who, you know, when you look at these applications, you see that there's this sort of invisible industry out there of people who, some of whom for a living and some of whom for pleasure, train horses off the racetrack and ride them and do things with them. And they don't get a lot of recognition often. And so we want to get them all in one place to share each other's, methods and information. And we'll have seminars, everything from vets on lameness issues to paddle fitters probably to, all kinds of demos. And the demos, we want to make them exciting. And so we've already announced that we're going to have celebrity demos. We haven't decided who those celebrities are. But, we're looking for celebrities to do some demos. So that'd be great.
Is the symposium at Timonium too?
Pimlico, yeah.
Or Pimlico, I'm sorry. Yep. Yeah.
We'll have to contact Christy.
So the whole thing is a weekend. The Saturday will be when the 26 horses will perform in whatever discipline, doing whatever they can do. They'll decide. And we'll have – it's not really a competition, which is why we're not calling it a challenge. But it's hard not to compete a little bit. So, we'll do online voting for your favorite in this category and your favorite in that category. And then we'll have some big name folks there doing live commentary as they're doing their demos and interviewing the trainers after their demos and evaluating them. So there'll probably be some prizes just to keep it interesting. But we're trying to keep the focus on the process rather than the outcome. And then the trainers will announce whether or not they want to sell the horse or keep the horse, or some of them will have an owner they've contracted with who will keep the horse. But for those who do want to sell their horses, we'll make that possible for people to try the horses at the symposium on the Sunday and evaluate the horses while they're there. So there'll be a certain amount of buying and selling going on, but we're not going to be part of that as an organization. We'll let the owners and buyers work that out themselves. And then the other part of it that is interesting is that each of the trainers will have their makeover webpage. And we're encouraging them to build a team around their horse and themselves with sponsors, with trainers that they take lessons from, with organizations like pony clubs, with nonprofit organizations that place horses, thoroughbred aftercare organizations. So they'll promote their team and their sponsors on their webpage. And then we're helping them out by giving each one of them $1,000 when they come to the thing at the end. They get that far. So we have a woman who's on our board, Carolyn Carlson, who the reason that it's 26 horses is that she decided she wanted to give $26,000 to help each of 26 horses start their second career. And we thought this would be a fun way to do it. And
that's terrific.
She was doing that in response to the 26 acts of kindness that came out of the Newtown, Connecticut shootings. These are her 26 acts of kindness. So we built this whole event kind of around that. And that's not the focus of the event. It's her motivation for being generous. So
doing what she did.
Yeah.
This has been very well thought out, as usual, Stuart.
Yeah. So that will help the trainers. It's not going to cover all their expenses, but they can go out and get sponsors, or they can just, sponsor it themselves. And, of course, if they sell the horse, hopefully they'll get their money back, plus some. So there are plenty of incentives for trainers. I mean, trainers can professional. I think that's part of the reason it's so popular with so many applications is that, you know, a trainer can really get some mileage out of this. They can also educate people with it, you know, if they feel like they have something to share. The hard part is saying no, some of these trainers.
Now, will you be the one making that selection?
Our board of directors will.
Okay.
Are you kidding? I would not. I would not. I mean, I'm on the board of directors, but, boy, oh, boy, I need to be able to point the finger somewhere else.
This is going to be like electing a new pope. We're going to watch for white smoke.
That's it.
Right. And we're going to announce them fairly quickly. You know, our first plan had been, let's do this around the Triple Crown, and we'll announce them on Belmont weekend, but we don't need to wait 3 weeks from the time we get the applications in. We're going to try to make the announcement within a few days. You know, we're looking at them as they come in, and we can probably be fairly quick about that. Because we want people to have as much time as possible. And we don't want people sitting around wondering whether they're going to be. I know what's going to happen is people are going to go out and get their horse and assume they're going to get picked, which is fine. Then they still have to train the horse.
Well, it'll be interesting. Why don't we do this? I know we've done it before with you during your different challenges is we'll get some of the trainers on over the period of the summertime here. And
get
to know them a little. You know, the ones we don't know, obviously the four-star adventurers we probably had on before, but, you know, let's get on the ones that we don't know that are doing some different unusual things with their thoroughbreds that we're not, you know, that aren't common, like driving.
we'll have a list and it'll all be well publicized and you can pick and choose.
Okay, cool. And then, you know, we might also be able to help you out with some of the celebrities that we've come across along the way that use thoroughbreds for various things. So, Jennifer,
that would be great.
Help you get some contact information there. Christy Lee would be a perfect one, obviously, because she could definitely sing your national anthem for you. That won't be a problem.
And a few other songs, too, probably, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, a few other ones. There you go. Oh, you could add a concert to the lineup of things.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, we actually are, you know, because we're going to be at Pimlico, the facilities are great, and they're not racing there. So we're going to be able to set an arena up on the track. We're probably going to put a big tent up so that if it rains, the people stay dry. The horses will still get wet. But we're going to have something on Saturday night, and there may be music involved. There'll definitely be a little drinking involved and make it a good time.
You're going to have eventers there. You don't have a choice. So.
Yeah, people are going to be flying in for this. So, you know, we got to show them a good time. And we're, you know, we're really thrilled that the Maryland Jockey Club agreed to host this at Pimlico. You know, it's sort of a lot for them to do. And they're already doing the Pimlico Horse Show, the Thoroughbred Horse Show there in July. And they really stepped up to the plate with this. And, the local mid-Atlantic thoroughbred industry is really supportive. But we also met out in Kentucky with representatives from the Jockey Club and TOBA, the Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders, and Thoroughbred Charities of America, and HRTV, and Blood Horse, and, you know, a bunch of the real movers and shakers, and just kind of presented the concept, got input, got buy-in, hopefully. So there's going to be involvement from thoroughbred industry. And there's also going to be vendors. So there's going to be lots of sponsorship opportunities because the more money we can raise for this, the more we can actually advertise it to the general public. And I actually believe this will be good entertainment. And we have Washington, Baltimore area is, you know, it's a great market. And everybody's always looking for something to do on the weekend. So if we can get the word out, which costs money, then we can get the people in. And, it influences people's opinion of thoroughbred horses and therefore thoroughbred racing as well in a positive way. You know, they say that these animals are more than just things that run fast around an oval. They're fascinating creatures that you can actually train.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. The next thing you know, Stuart, I can see it now. In 2016, you will be selling out the Meadowlands for the Thoroughbred National Symposium. Give our listeners out there the website where they need to go to learn more about the event as well as more about the OTT, or no, RRTP, Retired Racehorse Training Project as a whole.
Yeah. Well, it's everything is at retiredracehorsetraining.org. That's our website. But the news as it's coming out is on our Facebook page. That's kind of what we use for the, you know, the updates. So that's just Retired Racehorse Training Project on Facebook. And then the videos are on Retired Racehorse Training Project's video YouTube channel. So any of those. But, yeah, retiredracehorsetraining.org is the website.
Well, thank you very much for coming on to the show with us this morning. We appreciate you taking time out of your morning, because that's always a busy time for horse folks, for stopping by. And we will be checking back in regularly with you, as well as the trainers that are eventually chosen for this event, to keep track of what's going on.
Great. Thanks for covering this. All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, that's great. That'll be a lot of fun. It sounds like they're going to put quite a program together. And I know when we talked to him the first year, he did this several years ago. The goal really was to make it more like the Mustang Makeover, with lots of horses involved, to really showcase what they can do. And it sounds like they're finally getting the funding and the resources to do that. It all comes down to money, doesn't it?
And Sewer is so thorough. He really, really is. And it's so exciting that he's getting this started now. And it's awesome that they're having it at Pimlico, but because of the facilities are really not made for indoors, and us Americans are wimpy and we'd like to be indoors. I hope it is successful and financially successful, as well as successful for these horses, so that eventually it can move into a venue that will drag in thousands of people like that.
All I got to say is they better have these horses well-trained before they bring them to the middle of that racetrack. That's all.
This is exciting. I'm just so psyched about the prospect of being able to see thoroughbreds do such a wide variety of disciplines. That is just so awesome.
Well, let's take a break for our song today. We're going to hear from the good folks over at Thin Line Global, and then you're going to hear a song from Dan Roberts called The Hero is a Clown. I haven't played that one in a while, and I really like it. Howdy, everybody. Glenn here. We just finished a terrific series on leg protection that was brought to you by the good folks over at Thin Line Global. If you missed it, go to horsetipdaily.com and check out all four parts. They still have a fantastic coupon for Horse Radio Network listeners for 12% off your next order at thinlineglobal.com. Whether you buy their saddle pads, horse boots, or tack items, everything is 12% off with this coupon code. Just type radio in the coupon section at checkout at thinlineglobal.com.
Cowboys have their own brand of heroes. Some are living in the shadows, some on the silver screen. They're tough men, straight shooting as a fence rope, standing rugged as a line pole, and few and far between. But there's a man you may not think of as a hero, because his reputation plays it down. But at a rodeo, ask any bull rider, he'll even tell an outsider his hero is a clown. The buckles and the glory, they're only half the story in the legend of the man behind the frown. He's as tough as any other, they trust him like a brother, risk his life to keep them safe and sound. For the bull rider, his hero is a clown. Well, don't let that painted face fool you, cause he can sure enough school ya. He's been down the road, from the finals all the way to Little Britches. He keeps a minute out of stitches, both young and old. So here's to all the boys that work the barrel,
ground. When the dust clears, they mark the ride and the crowd cheers. It ain't changed in 100 years. The hero's still a clown. The buckles and the glory, they're only half the story in the legend of the man behind the frown. He's as tough as any other. They trust him like a brother. From Ty to Don to Jim to Freckles Brown. For the Bull Rider, his hero is a clown. For the Wild Bull Rider, the hero's still a clown.
That was Dan Roberts, The Hero is a Clown. You can find all of his music at oldbootsmusic.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek. I'm here with Coach Jen today. Jamie had something she had to take care of this morning, so she is out and about. Jennifer is filling in. Thank you for filling in on the last minute here, Jennifer. Appreciate that. Jennifer is going to give her try at really bad ads here in just a matter of minutes.
My job's supposed to be sit back and laugh.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, apparently your laugh is very popular. A couple people this week have posted on Facebook that you have the best laugh in the country. So so I guess that's pretty popular. Well, I wanted to take this opportunity to wish a happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Mother's Day coming up this weekend, right? I hope, right? Sunday, the 12th.
Yep, Sunday. Right here on the calendar.
Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Happy Mother's Day to Pat and Alita also from our end. Happy Mom's Day. And I have this something that Uta posted that I stole, so thank you, Uta. It is from a website called SierraShea.com. And I thought, you know, with Mother's Day coming up and we're all farmers, you know, we're all horse farmers, and a lot of us are farmers in addition to having horses. So I thought I would read this to you. It's a little article that she wrote from Sierra Shea. It's called "So God Made a Farmer's Wife." And on the ninth day, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, "Oh dear, the farmer is going to need help." So basically, we looked helpless then, even back then.
Yes.
So God made a farmer's wife. God said, "I need somebody who will get up before dawn, make breakfast, work all day in the kitchen, bank, school, or alongside her farmer, and then come home to fix supper and wash up the dishes." So God made a farmer's wife. God said, "I need somebody willing to sit up all night with their newborn son and watch him grow, then pray each morning and teach their children to say please and thank you. I need somebody who can make a fried egg sandwich, stretch a paycheck, or thicken soup, who can clean her house with vinegar, baking soda, and hot water, and who, planting time and harvest season, will finish her 40-hour week on Friday, then join her farmer in the field for another 2 days, 6 meals, and 5 loads of laundry." So God made a farmer's wife. God said, "I need somebody strong enough to plant trees and heave bales, to co-sign a loan for $500,000 with steady hands, yet gentle enough to tame show lambs and raise kids, and calm the farmer when he's upset over higher rent or lower corn, who will stop her work for an hour to talk on the phone to her neighbor who just found out that her mother is sick, somebody who could cook and clean and not cut corners, somebody to wash, dry, iron, tidy, feed, rake, water, dry, check the homework and pack the lunch bags and remember the basketball schedule and replenish the refrigerator and finish a hard week's work with a 5-mile ride to church. Somebody who would sew a family together with soft, strong stitches of sharing, who would laugh and then sigh and then reply with smiling eyes when her daughter says she wants to spend her life doing what mom does. So God made a farmer's wife." I thought that was pretty good.
That's pretty good. And you know something? God knew from the get-go that men are slobs.
Yeah, and we wouldn't be able to do it by ourselves. No question. No. That's why we marry. And on a personal note, too, before we get on with really bad ads today, I just wanted to thank everybody. I got several emails off of the special episode we did yesterday on Lyme disease in people. If you haven't had a chance to listen to it, please do. Please do look, go to Horses in the Morning or go to StableScoop.com. or Horse Radio Network, any of the ones, and you'll find that episode and you can take a listen to it. It's important that people understand and know what's going on with that, and it was the first time I really talked about the struggles I have with it every day. But it was nice to get some emails from people who really understood what I go through and what everybody who has chronic Lyme goes through, and I really did appreciate that. It was a hard one for me to do. I put it off for a long time because I didn't think I was ready to talk about it. But thanks to Jennifer. Thanks to Jennifer helping me out over the years. I'm still here and was able to start the Horse Radio Network and get to the point where it is now. So so thanks, dear.
You're welcome.
What else?
Hit the button.
I think that's about it. I think we're ready.
Yeah, hit the button.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It's that time of the week when we do a segment we call Really Bad Ads. It's everybody's favorite. Our numbers are always up on Fridays because of Really Bad Ads. And Jennifer is a virgin at Really Bad Ads. She's going to give it a try today. So I gave her all of Janie's normal ones where there's no breaths and you have to read long sentences and you have to do it in Southern accent. So no pressure there, dear. Just saying.
What's the prize for today, Glenn?
Today we have a prize, an excellent prize. It's one of the most coveted prizes we give out here on Really Bad Ads, and that's the EquityMFG.com Flexin Fork. That
Woo-hoo!
Is the ultimate in manure forks. We use it every single day. I used it yesterday because I had to clean the paddocks because it was Jennifer's birthday, and I used it to clean the paddocks here, and it is excellent. It has a suspension system built in that reduces the amount of flicking you get. We have a lot of grass we have to clean manure out of, and it's perfect for that. The Flexin Fork, everybody that has won one has loved it. You will use nothing else once you get the Flexin Fork. But they also make something called the Shaken Fork, which vibrates. It has a trigger. It has a battery inside. It's motorized, and it vibrates and does all the work for you if you clean a lot of stalls. And Jennifer, you got to use it for the first time the other day.
I did. I'm not usually a gadget person. I'm pretty old school, but the other day Beaker had to spend a little time in his stall, and I had to clean it after he left, and he is a slob. I had forgotten how much of a slob he is. And we always talk about how when you try the Flexin Fork or the Shaken Fork, give it a little time to get used to it because it feels a little bit different. It's a higher quality tool, so it feels a little different in your hand. It might feel a little heavier. If you've never tried it before, you're used to those little wimpy things. It's like going from the hammer that you bought at the Dollar General store to the Ryobi one that you bought at the high-end hardware store. Well, I grabbed the Shaken Fork, and I'm sorry, I didn't need to get used to it. I loved it from the first shake.
Well, you have too. You have a bit of an issue in that you have what we call a floating rib. And so the movement of actually shaking a manure fork back and forth affects that a little bit and hurts.
Yeah.
So,
very painful.
Yeah, I imagine the Shaken Fork solved that problem.
Oh, it made a huge difference, and I was concerned because it's vigorous. It's an enthusiastic little motor that Joseph has put onto those things, which holds its charge for 6 months plus, by the way, while sitting
in
the
bathroom. Yeah, because we still haven't charged it yet.
We still haven't charged it yet. I was concerned that the vibration would be worse because I have a lot of injuries that can be irritated by cleaning stalls. But it wasn't. The trigger, it's not just on-off. Once you get the knack of it, you can make it shake slow or fast. And I cleaned that stall easily half the time it would have taken me with a regular fork. Easily half.
And use about half the bedding, too. That was the other
thing.
Yeah. You save about half the bedding you would over not using it. So it's a little bit more expensive for the Shaken Fork. But, boy, I always say if you clean more than 3 stalls a day, you want the Shaken Fork. It's just going to pay for itself.
I will save that much money in 6 months on painkillers.
Yes, you will. But today they're going to win the Flexin Fork. And you'll get your choice of tines. They come in two different widths of tines, depending on the kind of bedding that you use. So Joseph will check in with you about that and make sure that you get the right fork for the purpose. And we had a lot of entries this week, didn't we? People really want to win the fork. And let me explain how this works. People have submitted some really bad ads that they have found in the horse and farm section of Craigslist for the most part. And these are ones that, well, you'll see. But the name we give out is not the name of the person that wrote the ad and put it in Craigslist. It's the name of the person that sent it to us. So just to clarify, if you're a new listener. And we always start out with me finding an unusual one to begin with that is not in the farm section. And thanks to Uta, who posted this on my page. This comes from her, and we can post this on Facebook. We will. It is a picture of a girl, a very pretty girl, who looks to be about normal size, maybe 5'6", 5'8", sitting on a stoop. And sitting beside this normal girl is the biggest damn dog I've ever seen. And I don't know what kind of dog that is. It's some kind of Chinese thing, if I remember right, right? These big
that,
dogs.
That, I believe, is a bull mastiff, Glenn.
You think?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, it's a huge bull mastiff. Must weigh.
Bull being.
Yeah. Yeah. It's huge. I mean, its head is bigger than this girl's body. I mean, it is enormous dog. Must weigh 300 pounds. It is huge. So anyway, there's this picture sitting there, and it says, dog for sale. By the way, his name is Jethro. Free to good home. Excellent guard dog. Owner cannot afford to feed him anymore, as there are no more drug pushers, thieves, murderers, or molesters left in the neighborhood for him to eat. Most of them knew him by his Oriental street name. Holy S-C-H-I-T-T. Think about it. That was his street name. So that was funny. We're going to post that one on Facebook.
I didn't get that one until I got to the end. I went, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because that's what I said when I first saw him. All right, you're next up.
I'm up first. All right, here we go. Commas are important. That is the theme of this ad. Hey, racks, Western saddles, saddle racks, blanket racks, lots. Of horse.
Lots
$40 in Blairstown. Yes. Black metal hay rack Western saddles. Saddle racks. Blanket racks. Horse blankets. Sheets. Feeders. Buckets. Horse splints. Etc. Lots of horse supplies. Got to see. Call now.
Yeah, and I love how hay is spelled H-E-Y. How many times do we see that in these ads? They seem to always, even if they're selling hay. People selling hay on Craigslist will spell it H-E-Y.
Yes. Now, what I want to know is a black metal hay rack Western saddle used for roping cattle, barrel racing. Exactly what type of a Western saddle is a black metal hay rack Western saddle?
Yeah, and, you know, a metal saddle is going to hurt after a while.
Ooh, you're right.
Yeah.
You get an extra saddle pound there.
Plus the rust. I mean, just taking care of WD-40 all the time, you'd be slipping off your saddle. Well, the next one, thank you to Colleen for sending that one in. The next one is sent in by Shannon, sent this one in. I always get these, it seems like. These are the ads that can, if you think about it when I read it, is it really an ad for help or is it a personal ad? Should it have been in the personal section? Let's find out. Wanted, live-in Wrangler type for stable in West Valley. Stable is in need of live-in wrangler. Need experience with horses. Looking for someone that will stay during the summer and can physically ride horses and do other physical demands for taking care of property. I bet. You will have 2 days off work and 5 days on. Days will vary. Small furnished room is provided with linen, towels, plus board, food, a small salary, someone that will bring value to the stable, someone that can work independently. Not supervised, think outside the box, loves to be organized and tidy, loves to work in a garden, fix things, loves to keep busy, will treat the home and animals like they were their own. Oh, that's not all. There's more duties. Your duties will include but not limited to the following. Now, haven't we gone through a long list of duties already? Well, this person just wants to clarify the duties in case you weren't sure about what I'm assuming is a she was looking for before. Here we go. Although I could be wrong on that. Taking care of animals on the farm, horses, petting zoo animals. Now, there was nothing mentioned about petting zoo animals up above. Help with gardening, planting, watering, maintaining, house-sitting, repairing, maintaining property, mowing, plumbing, fence repair, house cleaning, cooking, grocery shopping, running errands. Must be reliable, dependable, hardworking, clean, quiet, respectful, responsible, trustworthy, non-drinking, no pets or children of your own, and you must be single. Okay, first of all, every woman in the world hopes they could find a man for a husband that would fit this, and this woman thinks she can get it for a little room and board and some free food.
There we go, working cheap. What struck me is bring value to the stable. Exactly what kind of a stable are they referring to?
Yeah. You know, now, the other argument, now, Jamie would be jumping up and down right now. You missed your opportunity to play Jamie here, because wouldn't she be saying, no, this was the guy that wrote this? And, you know, I read it over again, and I can't find any, there's no real reference to male or female. So she could be right. It could be a guy that wrote it that's looking for a female, in which case he's basically looking for his mom. But, you know, I don't know.
Well, see, it's gender neutral, and it's very, very carefully and thoroughly and completely gender neutral. Now,
Yeah.
Thinking a girl wrote it because guys don't use the dots.
This has a million dots in it. Yeah, you're probably right about that. And this lady is looking for a guy, and I guarantee you that that there's other things involved than riding horses. Guaranteed.
We're going to go flag that one. Thanks, Shannon.
All right.
All right. Up next, Sharon sent this one in. Gray thoroughbred mare and black driving cart for sale. Gray thoroughbred mare comes with black show cart, exercise harness, driving reins, and driving bit. Gray thoroughbred mare is about 9 years old. She has trained extensively in dressage, but would prefer to have a career as a cart horse. She's approximately 15'3" hands and a stunning mover. She is fearless and well-mannered. New price, $1,500 for all. She can be delivered. Now, let's read between the lines here, people.
She's a stunning mover, except she really sucked at dressage, so much so that we just put her in a cart because we didn't know what else to do with her.
They cannot get her to canter. Despite all the professional training they invested in, and she will not load in a trailer, so they're going to ace her out the wazoo and deliver her themselves.
That's right. Anytime that says she can be delivered, usually the case is too, it's like they avoid you being there when the loading happens.
Yes.
Because they don't want you to see the loading. And by the way, if that ever happens to you when they don't want you to be there when the loading happens, don't buy the horse. Just run.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Big bells there. Although, when I got to reading this, I am in need of a cart and a driving horse. Where was this one at? Oh, it's in Canada. That might be a little far to go.
That's a long... Well, they said that she can be delivered. It doesn't say they're going to charge for it.
Yeah, just in Florida for it. All right, next one up. Thank you, Sharon, for that. Thank you for sending that in from Canada. Appreciate that. Gemma sent the next one in, and I think Gemma called us on Wednesday. Priced to sell, 13 years old. I have a very lovely mare. She does all groundwork. You can
Stop. You have to go back to the beginning. Now, you need to read the words as they are written, not the way the words should be.
Okay. Sorry.
Careful.
Priced to sell. 13 years old. I have a very lovely mare. She does all groundwork. You can lung her. Run with her. She does come to a very good stop, but you don't have to worry about stopping on you. Paper name is This Diamond No Forsake. This Diamond's No Fake. That's a pretty good name, actually. You can settle her. Ride bareback. Don't even need to halter to settle her. She will just stand there. She will only walk. My day herter rides her, but will never tries to trot or canter. She will get existed if you do mini buck. She will get existed and do mini buck. Mainly because, C-U-S, she has not been rode a lot now with her third motorcycle.
What?
Mainly because she has not been rode a lot now with her third motorcycle.
Okay.
Okay. She used to do trail riddies, but have never since I got her, she liked to run off with other horses. She can ride ATVs around her. She will not run or try to buck. She is okay with dogs, but is a little afraid of guns. Well, let's join the rest of the world.
How'd they find that out?
Yeah, she will come to you without a problem. If you are walking, she will follow you without a halter. I think she is 14 or 15 feet tall. Wow. Holy crap, that's a big one. I don't want her following me around without a halter. My daughter now wants to do motocross instead. Oh, that's where the third motorcycle came in. There we go. 14 or 15 feet tall. It does say that, too.
You know, when you cut and paste in a Word file, occasionally you hit a wrong button and you cut something from one section and you try to paste it in the other, and the computer randomly throws what you cut and pastes it somewhere else in the page where it shouldn't be. I think that's what happened to this ad.
Yeah, saddle is spelled saddle her, which is what she really meant, is S-A-T-T-L-E. And almost everything is spelled wrong here. So
hard to read.
Yeah, I love my dater rides her, but ever she tries to trot or can turn, she will be existed. I'm not even sure what that means, what it's supposed to mean. Anyway, thank you, Gemma. That was a pretty good one.
Mona Leach is up next. And this one's from Statesboro. 12-year-old AQHA mare. Too much laughing going on here. This mare is for anyone to ride. She is for beginner and will go anywhere, not mareish at all, .. She is a very quiet horse. We have 5 and need to downsize. The others are for experienced riders only. She is registered and halter bred, only used for a trail horse. Angela.
You know what that means, don't you? This is the only one they could catch.
Right.
There's 5 of these in the field, and they could catch this one. There's one
the
good
other ones
one,
are feral.
And they need some money. So the other ones are total nightmares. Thank you, Mom.
I have another one. Oh, gosh. Does this one lack punctuation? Is that what you did to me?
I gave you this one. I just thought it was fun. I thought you should do it.
Okay. Horse Whisperer. Oh, boy. Let me get some water here before
I didn't know Monty
this,
was putting ads in Craigslist now.
I kind of doubt it. Here we go. Hey, everyone. Don't look no more for horse trainers. You found the right one. People call me the Horse Whisperer. I have had insane horses come call me at a matter of minutes. Not only do I train, but I also train you on ways to connect better with your horse, to connect that bond and dominance. I can do everything. People always say years of training. I say 2 weeks of training and you're golden. Sounds impossible? It's not. Give me an email and let it set up a free interview. See what needs to be worked on or what you want your horse to be doing. I'm having 2 super specials. $600, and this can be reduced. Give me an email and let's work something out. I'm not trying to break your wallet. I just want to help your connection. Thanks.
He's going to break your horse and you in 2 weeks. You're both going to be broke in 2 weeks. Guaranteed. 2 weeks of training. No problem. 2 weeks, you're out of here. And I got your money, $600. And the price can be reduced. This guy's desperate, really, really desperate. I doubt that we're going to find videos or a book written by this guy.
No, probably not.
No, no. I changed my mind. It was not Monty advertising in Craigslist. Tabitha. That's a new one. Tabitha sent this one in. Very used Murray riding tractor, $250. You know how we have all these people who try and hide things in their ads? Well, occasionally we get one that lays it out there and tells you the way it is, and that's what this ad is. So this is in Citra, Florida, which is right up the street from us, actually. Very used Murray riding mower, $250. I bought this Walmart special several years ago and have run the crap out of this mower and it won't die. New blades, 42-inch cut, 12.5 horsepower Briggs motor, just cranks and runs. The deck is wired on. It smokes when it hits a big clump, but it keeps on cutting. Cranks the first time every time. Getting a new mower? Need something for this one. Give me a call. He's honest.
He's tried and cannot kill his lawnmower.
It just won't die.
You know, this is actually very, very clever marketing when you think about it. Let's turn this around a little bit. If, in fact, the very used Murray riding mower is a lemon, it's not run properly since the day he got it. It's a piece of crap. But by writing the ad the way he did, people know they are buying something that's about to die. So when they take it home and it won't run,
Yeah, always lower expectations. It's always better to lower expectations. It's what we do on this show every day. Brenda Nellum sent this one in. I'm looking to trade my gelding and two hackamores for a two-year-old or older registered and running in his bloodline.
Okay, now, you got the no punctuation ad, you lucky clam.
Here we go. Now that so the rest of this is no punctuation now. If you just won't buy a horse, I will not ride him. You buy or trade him, you call him. He is not to be rode since June or July. Might need his teeth done. I am getting rid of him because I don't have time for a trail horse and all this registered AQHA. My location is Lavinia, Tennessee. Horse must be in Tennessee to trade. Got that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really not sure. If you won't buy a horse, I will not buy or rode him because I can't trade him because I didn't. You can ride him.
You know something?
No idea.
I know what this is. Somebody bought one of those really clever new computer programs where it types what you say.
Yes. They just dictated
and
it.
A four-year-old child wrote this.
He has not been rode since June or July. So there you go.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brenda.
Oh, I'm up next. Leilani, thank you. Leilani was prolific this past week, by the way. I got about 50 ads from her. This one is Quarter Gelden, Sweet Wit Potential, $100.
Oh, you got to read this in a Southern accent. This has got to be Southern accent.
Here we go
this
again. Three-year-old Bay Gelden has Coggins and front shoes. On he rides calm, finishing out no buck. He will sail with a knot on his head and a cut on his right knee. He come that way when we got him. And he's a sound, but no guarantees me.
No guarantees me.
Oh, my God.
Now,
he comes with a knot in his head.
Yeah, and a cut on his knee. But he came that way about 2 years ago. Just never healed.
Oh, my God.
Your Southern accent, though, is more hillbilly. Jamie has this refined sort of pretty Southern accent, and you have this hillbilly Southern accent. Yours is definitely West Virginia. I like that.
Sorry, all you West Virginians.
He will sail with a knot on his head and a cut on his right knee.
I got it. That's the way he came.
So
he came that way.
2 years ago, and it never healed. I don't know why.
He was sailing with a knot in his head and a cut in his right knee. He came that way when we got him. That's awesome.
You have the next one, too. The next one's really funny, too. You have the next one.
This next one's from Margaret. Thank you, Margaret. Free mean dwarf bunny in Macintosh. He is a lion head Netherland dwarf cross. He bites. Not for child's pet, for lunch. Oh, gosh.
I'm not sure what else you would do with a mean dwarf bunny.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe he has an attitude because he's a dwarf cross and he's a small bunny and the other bunnies pick on him.
I don't know. I thought, you know, lunch was probably a good idea for the mean dwarf bunny. But I wouldn't say that with Jamie here. You know, say that she's not here.
No.
All right, we can make all the vegetarian jokes we want.
Yeah.
James sent this one. Oh, James, that's new too. I don't remember James. So thank you for sending this in, James. Oh, this one has a lot of periods. You know how we have, I just read the ones that didn't have any periods? Well, this one has too many periods. So let's give this one a try. T-bred or Q-horse, stallion prospect, $5,000. Oh, in Ocala. Thanks. Thanks, James, for finding this one in our backyard. Grandson of Stormbird out of In Reality Mare. Gorgeous bay. Tight. Coupled body. Sound and healthy. Excellent ride. Manageable. Enjoys outdoor living. Like he'd want to live in the house. Very entertaining. Personal auto. Very entertaining personal auto.
Okay,
what do you think that meant?
Let's take this ad.
Yes.
And we'll take the title out of it. And we'll
yes.
take this ad out of the farm and garden section and put it into the personal section.
Oh, can I read it again?
Yes.
Okay.
Now it's
this
in the personal section.
Now in the personal section. Grandson of Stormbird out of In Reality Mare. Gorgeous bay. Tight. Coupled body. Sound and healthy. Make for an excellent ride. Manageable. Enjoys outdoor living and a very entertaining personal auto. What do you think?
Bait works both ways. Oh, my gosh.
And then we have our trailer of the week. We have to go
trailer
now. Nobody sent a trailer. This is the first time in 2 years we didn't get a crappy trailer, so I had to go find one, and it took me about 5 seconds. I went to Alabama. If you want to find crappy trailers, just go to Alabama, anywhere in Alabama on Craigslist, and put in trailer, you'll find one. So this is an expensive one. Now, I got to say, before they painted it, it was probably, it's in much rougher shape than it looks. But they didn't even hide the fact that they just painted it, because the trailer is sitting in grass. And the grass all around the bottom of the trailer is painted the same color. So it's very obvious that they just painted it. And the ladder covered in the same color paint is sitting right beside it with a drill on it. So this is what the ad says. Used 14-foot WW2 horse. That's not actually a World War II horse. It's the horse trailer.
Maybe it really 4,000 is a World War II horse.
Yes, it might be. $4,000. Now, $4,000, people. Orange with white top. Yes, I said orange. And when I said orange, I meant they spray painted with a can of spray paint this entire trailer fire or construction orange. Construction cone orange is what this entire trailer, except for the top, that they painted white.
Wow.
14 foot, extra space to work from. Large tech space, food space. Divider, 5,200-pound axles, heavy axles. Great trailer, ready to go. $4,000. Please contact me. Trades welcome. Let's make a deal. If you're going to sell your trailer, and you know you're going to sell your trailer, and you know it looks like total crap, why would you paint it bright orange?
Nobody's going to steal it.
And if you notice in the picture, Jennifer, the front of a fifth-wheel trailer next door, that's what this trailer looked like. There's a picture of a well-worn trailer right next
right.
door.
Right, yeah, there in the background. Good eye, Glenn, good eye.
That one will be painted lime green next week and be on
Craigslist.
That's going
to be next.
Yeah. This is bright orange. Right.
Fresh
$4,000. And I guarantee you it's totally rusted out. They painted over everything. Yeah.
Wow.
Well. Anyway, we'll post that one on Facebook, too. We got to pick a winner. There were so many good ones today.
Oh, golly,
you have a favorite?
Oh, let's see here.
I kind of like the Live-In Wrangler.
The Live-In Wrangler was pretty much a chuckle, wasn't it?
Yeah, I kind of like the Live-In Wrangler.
It's a versatile ad.
Yeah, it really was. And who knows? Maybe Shannon, who sent this to her, was the one that actually put it in. We don't know. In which case, she's going to need an Equity MFG fork for the Wrangler.
You are right. So that's it. That seals it. Shannon Stovall is our winner.
Yes, Shannon. Woohoo! Good job. And very good job, Jennifer. You did great.
Whew, this is exhausting. I hope Jamie's coming back on Monday.
It's easier just to read, isn't it? Just to listen and laugh.
I'm really comfortable with my job, pressing buttons and laughing in the background. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you do answer the calls, though, too. You weed out the ones we shouldn't take. I mean, you do that and book all the guests. That's a tough job.
Thank you for all the nutcases who call into the show and keep me busy. Thank you. We do appreciate that. I'm going to give them a late daily Winnie.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We do appreciate it. Hopefully, Jamie will be back on Monday morning. We have a full week for you next week, and I assume Jennifer will be talking a little bit about the next big race next weekend.
Oh, yeah.
We have lots of other cool stuff for you. We hope you enjoyed today's show. You can find all of our show notes at horsesinthemorning.com, and you can find all of the other shows on the network at horseradionetwork.com. Most of the shows are out now. The Western show will be out a little bit later today. So, again, thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you again next week. And, Jennifer, as Jamie would say,
spay, neuter, and geld, comma, people.
Hey, I bet you she wishes Chad was spayed right about now.
Hey.